Whoop, whoop.
Alright.
That's the sound of the police.
It's the sound of the beast.
Oh man, this is second so badly.
Oh shit.
Welcome to Desert World Podcast, episode 007. This week we totally sack off, we've been watching, playing, and everything is about Daredevil. We've got some news thrown in as well, and we also have our creature feature. Thank you, Tommy, holding my hand through that intro. Good. Right, okay, sit down, put your earphones in, and enjoy.
Okay, we're going to go for a read and watch and play first, as we usually do. However, we're going to get rid of the reading, we are going to get rid of the playing, and we are going to focus solely on the watching. And we all know what we've been watching. We've been watching Daredevil on
Dirty
Netflix.
Dirty movies
and Daredevil on Netflix. And I think we can all agree that Daredevil is such a massive success of a show that Netflix have brought out. Guys.
Absolutely.
I agree.
It's chronicling for people that aren't really familiar with Daredevil, which I would imagine is a fair deal of people, to be honest with you. It's chronicling a blind lawyer named Matt Murdock who
has extrasensory powers
who, and he's developed them. Can I spray it again? He's developed them over the course of his life, and this is basically him culminating in becoming Daredevil. And it's, aside from anything else, it's just really, really well done by Marvel. Really, really well done, and it's head and shoulders above the rest of the competition at the moment. And
it's everything you like about a TV show. It's the good stuff from all the good TV shows that you've seen. Not all of them, but the things that you enjoy about a TV show, it's got them, but it just happens to be a superhero
TV show. One thing about it as well that I liked, and it's quite evident from the start, is it's a hell of a lot darker than any other.
It's the first show that's rated like a 15. There's a scene where, well, it's going to be spoilers anyway. This is spoiler filled
because for anybody that's listening this week, this is spoiler filled, and for anybody else that's listening in about a year's time when you're actually going to probably start listening to this podcast, just, you already know all that shit anyway, so it's, don't worry about it.
Season 2's already.
Season 3's underway. Announced for season 4, and he's going to be in Avengers 3, so there you go.
Sorry, on the back, episode 2, is episode 2 the beginning of episode 2 in the bowling alley?
No, that's later.
Oh, is it? Right,
okay.
Whatever episode it is, anyway, when I watched that whole scene, I was just like, this isn't a Marvel show.
And
this
that's the greatest thing about it being Marvel. It's so far removed from anything that Marvel has done so far. But at the same time,
I was watching it, and I was like, holy shit, I mean, you see the bone coming out of the boy's arm and all that sort of stuff, right? I was like, this is really graphic.
He hammers him to death
with a bowling ball.
Bowling ball, yeah.
At the same time, if, like the rumours are telling, this is going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is Daredevil a little bit too dark to fit into that?
I don't think so. Charlie Cox, who did, quite frankly, like a wonderful job playing Matt Murdock and Daredevil, I think he could potentially be the first of any of the sort of the TV type characters that could transcend TV to film, and I say that with the possible exception of Green Arrow.
I think Stephen Amell could do it, but I don't think DC are going to give him a chance, which is a bit silly.
I agree, because they've got so much background and whatever, he could essentially do it, because let's face it, Green Arrow's not going to have a huge role to play.
But I don't know.
Has done such a good job of being Daredevil that you could quite happily believe that there might be a cameo for Daredevil now in the Avengers, and you would be I personally would be disappointed if there isn't,
because you're a fan of the show, and the same thing can be said for people who are a fan of Arrow, like we are. We watch Arrow, Greg, and
I don't.
And when when DC do the Justice League film and it's not Arrow, who's Green Arrow, you're gonna be like, well, he's shit.
Even if he's not, he would have to be stellar, really.
Because
is he going to be in it though?
I don't think he's going to be in it. The Flash is definitely going to be in it, but
yeah, I know. Anyway, that's one
of the biggest compliments that you could give Charlie Cox about it, is that he's played such an amazing. He's played Daredevil in such an amazing way that you you fully buy into his character and you fully root for him throughout,
yeah.
whether he's Matt Murdock, the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, the masked guy, or
know,
at the end Daredevil, whatever.
Do you know what I liked about it was the fact that he's not Ben Affleck.
And that's the first and last time they'll ever mention that film.
Oh, really?
There you go. So moving on from that, moving on from that part, there's so much good story to, and Tommy being a massive fan of Daredevil, mm-hmm. I think it's only appropriate that we come to you for saying how closely does this fit to the stories in the comic, and how well is he portrayed on the screen.
The core of the characters are extremely well represented. What the characters do, how they act, and the stories that they're in are tonally the same kind mm-hmm. of stories, but it is a completely different story. Like, I can't say they ripped off this story. I can't say it's based on that story.
Is that a big mixture?
Yeah, it's just kind of a mixture. Like, they've kind of got the basic gist. Like, it's kind of like they know the characters through reading the comics, and therefore interpret it in a different way.
Follows a lot of the Man Without Fear.
Absolutely does the origin story that Frank Miller did.
For me, the show as a whole has been, I enjoyed it so much that it's like compulsive viewing, and I was trying to stop myself from watching more than two at a time, and for me it's been like the most engaging and engrossing show since Breaking Bad. It's just been that good.
I'm going to butt in on the back of that.
Over.
Is this going to be negative, Greg?
Aye, it will be.
Gold, cynical Greg.
Fuck off. No, one thing in the back of that was, again, this comes down to the whole thing I was battering on about, was the fact that I don't like the fact that it was all released at once. I recently watched them, which we're focused on earlier in the podcast, so go back and listen. Better Call Saul was released one at a time, Better Call Saul, and you basically watched it, you had your episodes, you got up to date with it, great. This was just like, right, there's fucking 13 episodes. Smash your way through it, and I felt like I was under pressure, mostly for this podcast, to watch.
Because me and Richard were powering away of our own.
Have you watched Daredevil yet? I was like, no, not yet. I'm on episode 12. I was like, brilliant, I've got fucking 12 hours of just watching it.
Oh man, it's so good.
We did make you watch it.
And I felt that kind of took away some of the enjoyment from it. Like I say, I fell asleep watching it a few times.
Disgusting.
I don't know what it was. I liked it, but I think I really liked it more spoon-fed to me, rather than just like sort of dumped on my doorstep, being like, bosh! There you go, have a shot at this. Also, as well, that's it finished. That's what I think earlier on. That's it finished, right? You've watched it all in what, 1 or 2 days? So then you're going to have to wait longer for season 2 to come out. Whereas if they've shot it and released it, I'm not going to watch it again. Fuck that.
Well, you could watch it once a week now.
But I still know what happens.
Watch it again?
No.
Alright, okay. Anyway,
it doesn't dilute my enjoyment watching it all at once. Or one episode that week, whichever way it came out, I think I would have still enjoyed it as much.
I would have enjoyed it more.
I would agree.
The delivery system is not, you know, you can't start taking points off for.
It's not. I never mentioned taking points off of Tommy.
It's not the show's fault how Netflix delivered it. However, like,
fuck you.
Moving on to the moving back to the actual show. Moving back to
Kingpin.
The actual show, you've got...
Just Kingpin.
Yeah, we've got Kingpin.
Which Kingpin, who is some guy who played him. I don't know, I've never seen him in anything.
That boy's before. In Jurassic World, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah, there's a wee fact for you.
Well, there you go. Thanks for that, we'll come back on that later.
Never saw him in anything else before this.
He's one of the most sort of complex and character-oozing bad guys that I've seen in a long time in any sort of TV show. However, he's not quite the finished article for me. There's just that something about him that he's just a guy at the moment. He's not Kingpin, and that's what's moving. That's what I think they'll be moving to in the next season of it. Mm. But at the moment, he's just not. He doesn't seem that effective.
On the back of that,
he's good, but he doesn't seem hugely effective.
On the back of that, I was watching it and I was kind of like, why is he so powerful? Why does he have this hold over everybody? There's nothing that makes him special.
Well, he's not the Kingpin yet. He's working with these other families.
Aye.
So he's still pretty powerful. He's not like the top mob boss.
No, I know he's not, but it's just...
I think it's because he really played it. He underplayed it, the guy. He underplayed the part. He was soft-spoken. He had these big size and breasts between his lines and stuff like that. He really seemed like he was a man who was under
fed
pressure.
He seemed like
he was under pressure, but that's when he did kick off and he did let loose and he did go psycho,
which was brilliantly portrayed in the flashbacks to his childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it kind of seemed more real. Like it was like, oh, yeah, that man's just snapped.
Yeah, and it seemed like a child, I think. It seemed like when
he was really shy,
yeah, and he was quite like sort of, he'd apologised an awful lot for somebody who I thought was a bad guy. Kind of someone was like, oh, it's not going right. He'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, and blah. And he seemed like a child, like losing his temper.
He's got to pander to these other families as well, the heads of these other families. So while stuff was going on and things were getting messed up, he was downplaying his own intelligence as well to them.
Of course, yeah, of course. And stuff. Yeah. And there's that's one thing I want to say, the whole downplaying the intelligence thing, right? His assistant Wesley, right, translates all of the Japanese and Chinese.
Yes. Uh-huh.
However, the first scene that he meets the Chinese lassie sitting and just blabbering away in Chinese, right? Wesley never, ever, ever translates what she says, but Kingpin responds to her, and he actually gives her answers. And then later on, she goes, oh, he goes, oh, you speak English, or you speak Chinese. Like, oh, of course you did, they answered you.
I noticed that.
He said that later on in the series, though. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. But
well, maybe that was the tell. Maybe that's how she knew.
Maybe she knew
that he spoke her language.
Or maybe it's just a plot hole.
Or maybe it's an oversight in Greg's nitpicked it.
I'm fucking right, I have. I've watched every single episode of Daredevil 5 times in slow-mo to get...
And I've found all the faults. Don't test me, because I know them all.
Don't test me.
There's other parts that we're obviously we're missing, which we'll come to now. Let's talk about the fight scenes, and let's talk in particular about the very first fight scene that would have grabbed your attention as a Daredevil fan, which would have been in episode 2.
Yeah.
Well, that was the best build. There was, yeah,
watched that about 2 or 3 times. It was absolutely phenomenal. Like camera work, the way he sort of comes around the corner, and he just looks badass. There's no other way to describe it. Like, and in his costume, as he was like the masked man, Devil of Hell's Kitchen, he looked badass when he came around that corner. And
such
he just,
a long scene as well.
And it was one shot.
Easy.
It looks like it's just one shot as well.
Minutes, like,
I kept waiting for it to end, because I was enjoying it. And I was like, oh my god, it's still going on. And I was like, yeah, it's going to end soon, though. And it just didn't, and it kept going and going.
Totally set the precedent. There was a fight scene in the first episode as well, but the second episode was like, wow, man. It's just a brawl. It's a total brawl.
Well,
it's not like Daredevil's on the scene, punches a guy out like in a second. Like in one punch he's knocked out and then he stands like kind of with his hands
yeah.
and sips.
But there was one thing
the chest extended and stuff like that. Every fight scene as well, apart from the last one where it's between Daredevil costumed and Kingpin, where there's some exposition type stuff going on, but both of them are kind of shouting and talking at each other while they're fighting. A lot of the fight scenes are just like, show up and they kick the shit out of each other. And nobody's like, stop, get him, that's him over there, that guy,
yeah,
go get him.
It's like, just like, fighting,
there's just total, like you would imagine a fight, like, to go down.
That's one of the super cool things about it as well. It's like, when you're watching scenes like that one from episode 2, when they're just beating the shit out of each other, it's not like, it's like you can see them sort of pause for breath, and you can see them as one of them's been knocked down, and Matt Murdock is just kind of like, oh god, here we go again. And you can see him, he's obviously like, he's not struggling, but you can just see how a real fight would, it seems like
it comes across more realistic.
Yeah, and it's fantastic in that way. And that was one of the things that made me think that, along with the bit where Matt Murdock goes into the gym in one of the early episodes and he's punching a punch bag, he looks so much like Captain America in that scene. It's, and the way that Captain America fights as well in The Winter Soldier, those two alongside, like film Captain America and TV Daredevil, would make you think he could definitely do it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox could
also
definitely do that.
Captain America's reference in it as well.
Ah, yes, it's
Foggy,
Big Foggy.
Foggy
yeah,
makes
yeah.
a reference
That's
towards Captain America, which I was quite excited about. I was like, oh, here
it's like,
go.
Oh my god, and Thor as well. Another thing that I was thinking about as well was Charlie Cox's accent is phenomenal, and that maybe one of the drawbacks is that I was maybe looking a bit too much into it, but it was like you can hear his Irish accent come through every now and again. But so you didn't hear it.
I don't think he could. I didn't even know, because Boardwalk Empire, we both watched that, and he's Irish in that.
Yeah.
And I thought he was actually English in real life, and he was using an Irish accent in
English because of Stardust.
Yes. So he's using an English accent in that. So.
Again, a massive compliment to Charlie Cox.
He's from Paisley. I made that.
I was literally looking at you there like, you should have made a fucking little runner.
Nah, I made that.
I've seen him in a chippy on a Friday night.
And he's
can
a bit leery.
He could really fight like that. He could batter shit out of
him. There's,
he had a sock over his eyes.
He's absolute quality. But yeah, there's... Wilson Fisk is... He's a complex old guy, and it's moving on to Kingpin that I reckon season 2 will be going to.
I quite enjoyed the duality between the protagonist, the main protagonist, and the main antagonist.
You need to stop with these words, Tommy. Like,
no,
goody and baddie.
No, I'm on a roll here. Shut up. Right, so Kingpin and Daredevil, straight from the jump, like they had both their trailers. There was two Daredevil trailers.
I seen this. This is good. It was clever.
It was clever, wasn't it? And it's like both talking like a voiceover over scenes of them doing quite violent and brash, exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. But they were both like declaring their ownership of the city for different reasons.
Yeah.
Which is a theme which runs through the season. Which is they both, Matt Murdock and Kingpin, Daredevil versus Kingpin, they both feel like the city is theirs, and they're both kind of fighting over ownership of it. It makes them very similar for different reasons, and there's other similarities as well which I've noticed and I quite enjoyed, in that they both have lost their fathers in very different ways, obviously.
Oh yeah, well, that's a good point,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, man,
They were both brought up in violent environments as well, and they're both very angry, violent men. I mean, Daredevil is as violent as Kingpin, if not more, and he would go as far as to say that he actually enjoyed the violence. I mean, I know he's a hero, but he's flawed. He's like one of those noir heroes.
Yeah.
He is slightly flawed.
Of course, he's slightly blind.
Is he blind?
But he's not that blind.
I'm coming back to that. Yeah. I'm coming back to this, Tommy.
I want to touch on that quickly, Tommy. That's a great, great point as well about both of them losing their dads, because that's something that's touched on in separate instances within the show, where you see how Matt Murdock loses his dad, and it's kind of heartbreaking in a way, yeah. Because Matt Murdock just wanted to see his dad win. Absolutely. And because he wanted to see his dad win, he died. And Wilson Fisk was sticking up for his mum, and you can think of them in both in that as kids. You think of them, but they've actually come from similar backgrounds. In the
very, very
the,
much.
They should be pals.
They should be pals. They should be violent pals. The people who they.
Maybe that's what season 2 of Daredevil will be called.
Like
violent pals.
Them like that.
Only first guy, no bad. Let's go smash him one day. Do you notice? I noticed this is again really pernicky, but did you notice that there was a Boardwalk connection with Fisk's dad? I'm pretty sure it's a boy who played Al Capone's brother in Boardwalk, which I quite liked because Charlie Cox from Boardwalk.
Pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
I got excited about that.
I've never seen Charlie Cox in anything, but I was like, I think that was actually better for me, because it was like, man, he's Daredevil.
See, the thing is, I agree with that, but in the same way, I have seen Charlie Cox in other things, and I still believe that he's Daredevil, which I think is an awesome point, because for me, he's always been, what's the fuck was his name in Boardwalk, Owen someone. For me, he's always been the guy from Boardwalk.
Right.
Like, even when I watch Stardust, he's the Irish boy from Boardwalk who pumps his missus. That's another spoiler. Anyway.
You're spoiling stuff that we... There's another wee thing that I want to touch on, because we're running out of wee time on this section. There's two things I want to touch on. One thing that I was really super disappointed with was Ben Urich dying, because
I quite agree with that. It was a very shocking death when it happened in like the 10th episode or something like that. And Ben Urich is a massive character
He's a Jim Gordon too.
You could say that. I wonder. Yes. Yeah. You could say Jim Gordon's Daredevil's Jim Gordon is Ben Urich in the comics.
Yeah, and seeing him being killed, I was really disappointed with that because I thought he would, the guy who played him and Ben Urich as a character were both fantastic within the series, and it was just such an opportunity I felt to miss out killing him and just carry on with him in the series as being a character
when that happened. When it happened, like, it's a spoilery, very spoilery, but Kingpin's there, he's like, well, you said some bad stuff about my mum, or to my mum about me, or you don't talk about my mum, or
you
whatever.
You slag my ma.
And then he's like, grabbing him and he's strangling him, and I was like, Daredevil's going to jump in.
That's what I thought.
Daredevil will be here in a second. He's still strangling him. His shoes are falling off, or whatever happens to him. I was like, getting quite frantic. I was like, any second now, Daredevil better show up or Ben Urich, and then he dies, and I was like, shit, man. Yeah. He actually was like, he actually died. I was like, they're holding nothing back.
What
for
are they
the
doing?
Second.
Yeah, from exactly. The thing is, you obviously you've read. I've not read much of Daredevil, so I don't know. But from someone who didn't know who Ben Urich really was. From watching the TV show, I thought it was really obvious he was going to die.
Did they set him up? Set him up as like a character? Did you think that?
I thought that as well. I was hoping so much that they wouldn't. I thought that they would maybe like when Wilson Fisk turned up in his room. I thought he was just going to give him a really strong warning.
That's not his style.
I know, but that's just kind of felt a bit. But that was disappointing.
You're not fairy tales and rainbows, aren't you?
Shut up. Beyond that, Ben Urich as a character was really good, and he helped. He helped to build a lot of tension within the newspaper they worked for, with the FBI coming in and arresting people who his boss involved in Wilson Fisk paying off the media and stuff like that, and he was great. But one of the other things that I quickly want to touch on before we move on is as well Marvel's continuity, which was. Ben Urich was a central point of that when you saw him talking to his boss, and you could see behind him two framed pictures of a battle in Harlem, which was Hulk versus Abomination, and obviously the Battle of New York.
Yep. And he also had a picture behind his desk, and it was like a newspaper clipping, and there was just some building was kind of crumbling, and there was some smoky stuff coming off it.
Yeah.
But that's all it takes
to get you excited.
For you to connect. To join the dots in your head, you're like,
giant fucking nerd boner.
See what I paused it on that when he's holding the newspaper. I paused it and I was like, that looks like that big fucking monster thing for the Avengers. And I was like, no, it doesn't. And I was like, yeah, in my head it does.
It's almost literally like a screenshot from the film where the thing like dies at the end of it, and then it crumbles on
it. It's like a shady kind of photograph of somebody who was there.
I like the fact that it made like a sort of like a roundabout reference. It was like, oh, hundreds die in New York battle, as opposed to aliens come along and kill everyone.
It's just really refreshing in that it doesn't take. You don't have to have
spoon fed
post credit the post credit scene where people are talking about other people whose names are superheroes who aren't here, and we're talking about them, but we are not in the film, but we're kind of talking. You know, it's just like.
No, tied it together.
Very small connections, but it did tie it together, but not in a way that you needed. It didn't need to be massively tied together.
No, I agree.
It just needed these little connections, and you're like, right, cool, it's doing its own thing, but it's part of the same thing.
I think that's a perfect way to sum it up as well. Like, Daredevil is doing its own thing.
Absolutely.
And it's so far removed from all of the other superhero TV shows and films. It is its own thing, and you would hope that Netflix or Marvel Studios or whoever else takes note of how Daredevil was done and moves on from there. We're literally going to wrap up now, but
one final thing just before we wrap up, I want to leave it on this. He is not blind enough.
Right, we'll move on from there. Offensive.
Matt Murdock is not blind enough. There's also not enough Matt Murdock in the show, but
and he is super convincing as a lawyer, but
there's also not enough Dozai.
Oh, I'll make this point now. We have already recorded this section, but it's my laptop deleted it. So Tommy's had some amazing points, and we've just stolen a bunch of them. So what we'll do now is we're going to go and see that Daredevil as a whole is a solid.
Can we rate it? Can we all rate it?
Let's all rate it. Like Greg, start.
I'll go for 8 out of 10.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom. That's fair.
I'm going for 4 out of 10. No, I'm a solid 8.5 to a 9. I can't make it.
That's not that much better than me.
No, it's not really.
Solid 8.5 to a 9. I can't.
I'm going to do a 9.5. And yeah, that's a 9.5.
So anyone that's listening to this that hasn't watched it, fucking watch it. What the fuck are you doing with your life? God almighty. Ugh.
You got a bell?
I haven't got a bell. What I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste in a bell from another show.
Ding, 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 ding.
And here we go. It's time for some news. Like as a bulletin. And we're going to talk about what we've looked at in the last couple of weeks, entertainment-wise. I think there's only one place to start here. And since the last time that we've recorded, a trailer has come out.
Yep.
And we're going to have to talk about it.
Yep.
The Star Wars trailer. And we're going to give it our Desert Wales appropriate review and just move straight on to Daredevil being given season 2 on Netflix. What do we think about that?
I haven't seen the Star Wars trailer.
That we're not talking about it.
Oh, right, okay.
That was the joke.
Oh, right, okay.
That's fine.
Sandwich!
I thought of bringing that up and then something. No, I'm not a fag.
Well, that's it. That's why we're moving. That's why we're glazing straight over it onto the next piece of information. That did not go down well, did it? Daredevil has
I'm with you, man.
The Daredevil season 2 though was like almost a given. Mm. When the first you watched a couple of episodes of Daredevil season 1, it was a given, man. It was always going
to
happen.
The way that they marketed it, the way that they pitched it to everybody was it was going to be like the Marvel film. Build up, everybody's got their independent season, the four characters who are then going to be in one film. I don't know if it's going to be a straight to Netflix film or a film.
Oh, it's going to be an actual film?
The way they pitched it was going to be like Daredevil, they'd have a season, and then Luke Cage,
they'd have
a season, and then Jessica Jones,
Iron Fist?
Iron Fist is one of them.
Ah, yeah.
And Jessica Jones is one of them, and I don't know the exact order, but Jessica and then Ennis. They would all come together the same way that all the individual Captain America and Iron Man Thor films came together, and they would be the Defenders, so it'd be like street level team doing whatever they do in a film. I don't know if it would be straight to Netflix or a feature film or
either way, it would still be well,
that's
still
the way they
pitched it. Views.
Yeah. But
that's another like fucking but that, 3 hour
I would prefer if they just stayed away from that formula that the films make billions on, and they just concentrated on storytelling and story and characters and stuff like that, and that they can do what they've done with the first Daredevil season, and they can do it with all the characters, and then they can just kind of carry on. I mean, I don't want to see. I love Justified, the TV show.
Oh, right, I've
it's
watched
fucking
it.
Brilliant, man. I don't want to see a Justified movie. You know, I don't want to go and see that because it would be crap. I want to see the in-depth character studies and the really in-depth kind of cool stories.
Because they talk about making films for other things, and I'm like, but why? Because TV shows are just longer films. They can put more into a TV show.
Absolutely, that's why TV's taken over. But they don't make as much money. But it's certainly where the creative people go now.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, we're obviously all pumped for Daredevil season 2, and I think moving on from that onto another trailer that we've seen recently that's likely going to be just ignore the cat noises. There's going to be another film that comes out soon that's basically going to have a couple of characters and that maybe not everybody knows too much about in depth character study wise, and that is the real deal, the Batman versus Superman trailer. Gentlemen, start your engines and talk.
Start my engines. I seen the sort of leaked version first, you know, when it's all like in Spanish or the Spanish subtitles or whatever. I seen the first trailer for it, watched it. I didn't know what to think of it.
If I was honest. I would imagine that's the way that a lot of people felt. I was the same. I watched it and thought to myself, I should be really pumped about this.
Aye.
But I'm not.
Aye, I know.
From watching the trailer, and I'm sure there's obviously going to be a bit of backlash here from Tommy on this, but it's
not necessarily. This is commercially, it doesn't mean I'm pro everything, man.
No, at all. It's when you watch that trailer, the biggest thing that's coming out of it for me is that it was really vague. It's as if you
have still to, you has have 10 months though until it's released.
Yeah, but it's as if you really have to know exactly what's going on between the characters. Like, I got a text from one of my pals who's not quite anywhere near as
he has a life. He's not
life, and he just not quite as into comic books. And he was just like, I noticed that Batman and Superman are going to be knocking fuck out of each other on the big screen. What's up with that? When did they start not liking each other? And you're just kind of thinking like to yourself, actually, that's not a bad point. They haven't ever touched on that on the big screen. So,
but Batman's never been in that whole, because it's, I read it on the internet the other day, it's strictly not a Man of Steel sequel.
That's it. It was Henry Cavill that said that as well.
It's another direction.
It's going to be like, well, they're going to introduce Aquaman.
Yep.
But for a definite, because I've seen the poster.
Wonder Woman.
Aye.
And
apparently Cyborg as well, or he's going to be in Justice League, or he's going to be, he's already been cast and rumoured.
Cyborg's got
Will Smith that's playing him.
That's not.
I thought, no, but he's
not. Sure. I
was going to say, for fuck's sake, he's playing Deadshot. He's worse than Ryan Reynolds. Cyborg, you could have Cyborg in a film, and it wouldn't be a major part.
Do you know what, man? See the back of that, right?
I don't think Cyborg fans would be like, for fuck's sake, oh my god, they only got 5 minutes of screen time.
I would, do you know what? Like, even if Cyborg only got five minutes of screen time, I would still kind of be like, at least he was there. I don't mind.
Even with Aquaman, man, I think if Aquaman comes in it and he's in it for like maybe a scene, two scenes, whatever, I'd be happy. As long as they touch on him.
Let's face it, that's the way it needs to be. Because it's the film's name. It's Batman versus Superman. It has lost the tag Dawn of Justice. They're not using that anymore. It's now just Batman versus Superman.
It's like you just so like sedge with that, isn't it? Boosh.
If they allude to Wonder Woman being there, if they allude to Aquaman being there, and if they allude to any other characters, Cyborg, Doomsday even, who is a Justice League bad guy.
Has he been confirmed, Doomsday?
I don't know if he has. To be honest, this is another thing that was confusing about the trailer, when you heard, which is apparently Batman's voice overdubbed saying like, "Tell me, do you bleed?"
Yes, I got a wicked boner when they said that.
I thought that was going to be something. I thought that would be Doomsday. I genuinely thought it was Doomsday that was actually saying that. And again, I thought, I'm confused. Is Batman even more gravelly than Christian Bale made him now?
I think it's because he had his armor on though. That's okay, because you've seen his eyes lighting up, you've seen the big sort of like the chin strap thing, and I thought he had some sort of like power armour shield. Because let's face it, if he goes against Superman with spandex on, he's going to get shafted.
No, I was just going to say, overall, I thought it was a bit of a clusterfuck of a trailer, to be honest with you.
There's one thing,
didn't it do what trailers are supposed to do? Didn't it intrigue you?
No.
Didn't it make you excited for the film?
No. It was almost as if like,
no from a shot.
It was almost as if like they just they went the way of Man of Steel. I loved Man of Steel. I thought it was a great film, but they went the way of Man of Steel where they just thought to themselves, right, okay, get Superman on screen, darken it a bit, add a bit more effect, more rain, more grey clouds. No, actually, make them black clouds. Made the whole trailer look like that. Go right. It's just dark now. Fine. Go. And.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. That's
Man of Steel was dark, though.
Man of Steel was a dark film.
Because it kills Zod.
Yeah, but I mean... But
I fucking helped him with
spoilers.
Spoilers, but... He does. But he does, and that's fucking dark, because Superman never killed anybody in the comics.
At the same time, though, I think it's got... I think trailers, as far as Batman and Superman, have got they've got a wee bit more to do. And I'm going to go and watch it anyway. They could bring out the worst trailers in the world for that. I'm still going to go and see it. But it's just, it needs to do that just that little bit more.
Do you think it's because of the type of film it is, though? Like, when you watch it, it just strikes me as the same sort of style as, like, The Watchmen. Because what's his face is making?
Zack Snyder.
Aye, Zack Snyder. So do you think
it's... Watchmen was quality.
Watchmen was a great film. It was a great film. But if you ask anybody, oh, do you like that style or the Avengers? Everyone's like, oh, I love the Avengers film. Mm-hmm. Of course they do. But I mean, like... Cause
I love the Avengers, but I also love the Watchmen. Watchmen was amazing.
I like the Watchmen.
You can't mess with it. Like,
the Watchmen was great. I wouldn't disagree with the Watchmen being great. But at the same time, it's like... It takes that whole kind of dark, serious tone. And I don't think a lot of folk kind of... I think if you're going to take that dark, serious tone, you can't have a character who flies about in a red and blue suit.
But you're basing that on the Christopher Reeve films. And Christopher Reeve's films are gone now. The Man of Steel films.
Is that...
Like, the Man of Steel film wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like... The big blue Boy Scout.
No,
dark and edgy, so that's where the platforming's from.
I want this to work. I really want the DC stuff to work. Whether or not it does, I'm skeptical. But there's one thing that was missing from the trailer that I think is going to play a major, major part, and that was Lex Luthor. He was not in it at all.
There's one trailer I've seen, I swear it's been leaked and taken off the internet since. I don't know where it's come from, but I've seen a trailer with Lex Luthor, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman all in it.
Oh, really?
I swear to God I've seen one.
They've all had that big orgy thing?
That's the one. And they were all riding the carousel.
And Greg was in it as well, bro.
And Greg was there, and he was like, he was serving ice cream.
I handed out towels.
I swear I've
towels
seen it.
And like, balloons.
I think it's a little bit more to do, and... we're all going to be pumped for the film anyway. It's going to happen. Moving on to the next part of news, another sort of full length Jurassic World trailer has come out.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was skeptical about the first trailer because I said to you, oh my god, I can't believe he controls raptors. This trailer, oh hello. A couple of cats just destroying everything. This trailer literally started with Chris Pratt training raptors. Yeah. Like, this has basically started with a bit that I didn't like. So instantly I lost my attention. However, in saying that, the rest of it looked quite cool. It did actually look alright. I'm going to go and see it. It's a Jurassic Park film. You have to go and see it. It's like law.
There was a very cool part in it that I thought that there was quite a cool line. It was something along the lines of, we've noticed that every time we've got a bigger monster in, the crowds have increased. And it's kind of like, no shit. And there is a really, really cool part in it where it's the sea monster thing. I forget its name. It's like it's almost like a cross between
Nessie,
like a giant fucking shark and a crocodile, and it eats like half a great white or something like that, and it just looks amazing. And there's a kid in the audience who just goes, that was super cool, or whatever, and it's kind of like
bulk standard response. Right. That's what you would do, yeah.
And that's like, it's getting so what's the word for it? People
generic.
Just get so generic used to it that now it's getting to the point for the audience within that Jurassic Park universe. These things can't hurt me because they're just attractions.
I agree with that because it's weird because
like, you remember seeing all the Jurassic Parks before this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the three Jurassic Park films, you saw them or saw them in the cinema or saw them in the house or something like that. So then this is like a reboot, refresh thing, but they still feel the need to up the ante, and it has to be a Jurassic World. Because it can't just be like the same.
It has to be
be the park anymore. Because we did the park, so it has to be bigger and better and badder and blah, blah, blah.
And then
kids that are like fucking 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever up to set and go, oh my god, this is cool.
Yeah. But in the same sense, what you've said is, I almost felt that was like that kid saying like, oh, this is cool, but like being like really bland about it. It's like essentially what we're thinking now. We've seen the T-Rex, we've seen the Raptor, we've seen everything. Like... And it is essentially like, oh, it's now a Jurassic Park film, so you're like, right, okay, I've seen this.
I've seen it.
Blah, blah,
what's
blah,
different
blah,
about
nothing,
it? Oh,
yeah, exactly. Nothing kind of shocks me. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of sums up how you're meant to feel about it. Mm-hmm. I think, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about the originals was like, it was the first time you've seen, it wasn't real life, but it was the first time you've seen these dinosaurs walking around.
Yeah.
Before you get documentaries on fucking the BBC now about dinosaurs walking around.
Walking dinosaurs.
They look fucking real as fuck.
But that's another good point. That's another really good point where it's taken away the it's taken away the danger a little bit, and then halfway through, presumably Jurassic World is going to reintroduce that danger that if they were real,
that'll still eat you.
They'd fuck you up. They would fuck you up. So again, that's another thing. Tommy, there's a comic you wanted to talk about. There's a comic related feature you wanted to talk about.
There is a comic related feature I'd like to talk about if we have enough time.
There's absolutely enough time.
It might not take 2 minutes. It might take longer.
Good
than
that. Good comment,
yeah. Right. So there's this big thing where during the week there was an announcement that Valiant Comics have made a deal with Sony, a 5-picture deal, where they're going to take two of their licensed characters and they're going to do two standalone films with these two licensed characters, and then they're going to do sequels of the standalone films.
Already designed sequels, right, okay.
And they will culminate in a fifth film, which will be a coming together
crossover. Right, okay.
Much in the way of the Marvel films and the build-up and the crossover type thing. What's interesting about this is Valiant Comics have got no characters you know and no characters you recognise. I don't recognise them. I've never read or...
Yeah, you texted me this the other night and I was just like, yeah, cool, I have no idea what the fuck this is.
Is this the... This is Moon Knight, maybe?
Nope.
Is that, no, who
no, that's pretty cool. That's like a second... That's like a B-side... that's like a B-team Marvel group that you sent over.
Right, this is a B-team Marvel group with Moon Knight, yep. Punisher, Ghost Rider and...
Blade.
And Blade.
That's like B-team. But B-teams are better because...
Punisher should totally have his own show on Netflix.
Fucking right, yeah.
Nah, he should have his own show on Netflix.
That would be so sweet.
But this thing is like a Valiant Comics... Right, a brief history of Valiant Comics is the two guys from Marvel kind of went away and made their own company. In the 90s, like the mid-90s, started their own company called Valiant Comics, introduced their own characters. There was about 8 or 10 different titles. And then, it was like 89, or the start of the 90s anyway, when they started it. In the big boom, the big comics boom in the mid-90s, where everybody was buying a million copies of fucking X-Men number one or whatever that was coming out, they sold the company to Acclaim Entertainment, who make video games.
Oh, cool.
Oh, Acclaim.
And Acclaim Entertainment then, they got the licenses for the characters. I'm guessing the two guys from Marvel made an absolute fucking fortune. And then over the next kind of 10 years, they released, like, Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
Yeah.
Was a fucking brilliant character before it was a video game.
No way.
Shit. You know,
fucking really, that's like,
honest. Shit, you fucking know.
Shit on your brain.
No, you I
never knew that.
Two of those games.
I never knew that.
There was quite a few games, was there not? Turok games.
I think there was at least two that I can remember on the N64. Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, kids that are listening, that's an ancient machine where the controller still had cables that went
into the console. Yeah, that's like a Wii with buttons.
that's pretty fucking cool, but there you go.
Right, so Acclaim took the characters and they bought the characters. And then they made some video games and they brought some comics out, and eventually the whole thing kind of died off in the mid-2000s. Somebody else, some young, smart-minded people came along and they bought the licenses from Acclaim. And over the past 3 or 4 years, they've re-released and republished Valiant Comics. So they've taken the same characters and they've taken mid-level guys from Marvel and DC, mid, not the top guys.
Aye, okay.
Yeah.
They've taken mid-level guys from Marvel and DC, creators and artists, and they've paid them better than they were getting paid at Marvel and DC, and they've gave them 100% creative freedom.
Oh, that's cool.
Over these characters.
That's cool.
And they've said to them, just make fucking good comics. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago. And their comics are—I've never read one. I've got to be honest. Never read
one. They were so good, I haven't read
it. But they're critically acclaimed. Like everybody loves them, and it's been gathering speed and momentum. So as they only started off with like two titles, like 3 or 4 years ago, and then they've just built on it and built on it and built on it. So now they've got like 8 or 10 titles again, the same level that Valiant was at before they got bought over by Acclaim.
That's cool.
But now they've done this deal with Sony. Sony, who technically don't have any Marvel rights anymore. I don't know. I mean, Spider-Man is going to be part of the
They still
Marvel
have Spider-Man, kind
of. I mean, is that some kind of palm-off where, like, Marvel will... and Sony exchange...
He's on loan.
Yeah.
He's on loan. He's a loan deal. A loan deal.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. But that's a cool idea, because essentially that's them getting their hands on a whole new sort of universe, if you like.
Absolutely. No, that's
clever from them.
Absolutely. And the guys, the two guys who bought the licenses like 4 years ago and said, just fucking make good comics.
Are laughing now.
Absolutely laughing.
They're laughing their way to the bank. Well, another film that's going to be laughing its way to the bank, no matter how good or bad it is. Bad's probably not a fair way to describe it. It'll be Avengers 2, which we'll cover within the next 30 seconds, because it's only come out today. So, our expectations, in a couple of words?
Huge.
My expectations are huge. I really hope that it's as good as I hope it is.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair representation to make. And speaking of potential monster hits... We're going to move on to our next little section here, which is all about monsters. Ding, 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 ding. This is our creature feature. Whales creature feature. We were thinking about the best monsters that we've seen within the last, I don't know, well, within our lives, basically.
Yeah.
And... it's just basically a discussion between us to see. There's some cool monsters.
Yes.
People have had great imaginations throughout creativity within the last 30 years.
Monsters are one of those things where, you know, oh, monsters, what's your best monster? You don't think right away, because monsters are ingrained in a lot of different media.
Absolutely.
And they're not called monsters, they're just there.
Yeah.
You don't... And you go, that's a creature, or that's a monster, or that's something like that. It's
I
just
also find that a lot of
alien
monster shit.
Or horror stories, all the kind of horror story stuff, or whatever else. So,
also,
let's have a
it
talk
depends
about
on what
it,
you
right.
interpret monster being as well.
Well, let's dive.
That's pretty deep, Greg.
I know.
We're gonna dive.
My dad was a monster.
That's pretty deep, Greg.
What? Let's dive straight into Tommy, first monster.
The one I wanted to pick was the one that has the one that has scared me probably the most in the last at least 5 years was a game series that I played on Xbox called Dead Space.
Dead
Space. I don't know.
I started Dead Space 2 and that's where I wanted to leave it. Dead Space 2 was terrifying.
Probably Dead Space is shit.
Dead Space,
it's a survival horror game for the first two, and then in the third one it's like
pish.
Yeah,
Baywatch.
It's like fucking Call of Duty where yeah. like these monsters and
right, okay.
Dead Space 2 was terrifying, scariest game I've ever played.
Absolutely. And it's just one of those things where it's quite a simple thing. It's like, kind of like zombies where they're reanimated corpses, they're infected with a space virus or something like that. And they come back to life, but they've got fucked up limbs.
Aye.
Where their limbs are not hands and feet, they're spikes. And then
okay.
you can't shoot them. Like the thing with zombies, like reanimated dead, where you shoot them
there's
in the head.
There's a weakness.
You shoot them in the head. That's the thing. They teach you in films, they teach you in TV, they teach you in games.
They teach you.
Shoot them in the fucking head.
Shoot them in the face.
You shoot them. If it happens in real life, you're aiming for the head. But that does not help you in this game, because if you aim for the head, they still come and they still catch you, they still kill you. So what it's all about is like a limb, you've got to detach the limbs.
So you've got like a kinetic power where you can
in the
physically
game, yes.
detach, you can detach their limbs.
You've got a slow down power as well where you can kind of like, you can kind of chuck this stuff at them and it kind of slows them down and they slow down, and then you can like zero in and target the limbs and shoot all the different limbs off. like Butcher style.
But that's not the scary thing about them.
That's just what
I was going to say.
That's just fucking really cool.
That gives them a weakness.
But it's not a typical weakness.
They're fucking heads.
It's not a typical weakness because you have to rip off one of their arms to shoot it through their chest to kill them, and you need to shoot multiple limbs to kill them.
It's not that you just shoot an arm off and they go.
I feel like you missed the head and they go.
Well, have you got me with the secret?
Oh, you got me with your gun. You killed me with my own ankle.
And there's obviously the main baddie in it is these reanimated corpses with the limbs. Yes, but there's all different variations on the same theme. There's a fucking baby.
Oh my god, walks along.
And you think it's just a baby, but it's a reanimated dead baby.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
And then its
yeah.
back splits, and then six tentacles come out its back, and all six tentacles have to go down like the limbs go down. You have to fucking cut the limbs off. But the limbs aren't the limbs. The limbs are the tentacles. It's fucked up.
But there's other. There's other, like when you go to the nursery part on the old ship.
Oh.
They fucking explode. These babies fucking explode, and you just kind of like.
Sounds like FAP material.
Man, like
what's
if you liked horror games,
know,
you'd be
FAP. That means that you would just have a wank pit.
FAP is the sound.
Is this FAP is material like, to you?
Well, yes, it is. Guilty as
they're necromorphs.
Honestly, I swear to God, this is the most fucked up fucking thing. Like, in the last 5 years, definitely the most fucked up thing I've seen, witnessed, and the game itself puts you in the place first person.
First person.
And you shit yourself. It's third. And it's made like there's no. I don't want to get into the game too much, but.
But they're creepy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And the baddies in it are creepy as fuck.
And we'll rotate that around, Greg.
Cool. Number three. For me is.
Number three, that was one.
Well, no, but I've got three. So
oh,
I'm
mate.
Alright, well, that was my number three. On to Greg's number three.
Well, one, seven, really quick.
My number three is Alien. From the Alien movies.
Faces are thereof, or.
No, just everything. Just fucking everything about the Alien films. I think it's because my dad decided it was a good idea for me to watch the Alien films when I was like six.
It was a great idea.
It was a great idea. maybe that's why I'm not a huge fan of sci-fi, because every time I watch sci-fi now, my fucking bumhole just explodes. the Alien films, even though I love the Alien, and I feel that the Alien has been like underwhelmed because they've ruined the Alien by doing like Alien versus Predator
and Predator's
all that shite. Because basically they've now made the Alien, who is like a really terrifying foe for humans. In the Alien movies. They've made them shit because they've been like, oh, maybe hunt them, Predators hunt them, and all that.
Predators hunt them, shite.
I was going to pick Predator, but I think Predator's done more harm than good. In the movie world, so I think
Predator's like almost that one that's like it could be human in the films, like it's like it's kind of got that kind of
it's very humanoid.
It's morally kind of ambiguous.
No, the film ruined it, man. Like the end of Alien versus Predator, like Predator.
They're
like
Robinson Crusoe at the end of it, or
something.
No, they did some stupid shit.
No, but Predator gives the wayfarer like an alien skull as a shield. It goes as a shield. There's a spear. You're with me, and I'm like, it's not fucking 300.
It's not like a take your turn sort of Monkey Island game where you just make battles by a Predator.
That film ruined it, but the original trilogy of Alien. Especially the first two, man. Alien is fucking horrible.
I'll tell you what, right? Dark Horse Comics did Aliens vs. Predator, and it was fucking amazing. And what the Predators did was they were exclusive. At this time, they were exclusively different film franchises. And because the Predators were a nation or a planet of hunters, what they did was they would capture an alien queen.
Uh-huh.
Who would produce eggs, and then they'd put this queen in a spaceship, and then they'd take it to like an abandoned planet, and then they'd get this queen to lay eggs on the planet. So then they'd take trainee, like 18-year-old rookie predators, and they dumped them on the planet. And then whoever came out, whoever survived.
It's like Battle Royale with
Yeah, it pretty much was, but it was just done.
But see, well. even that, man, even that takes away the genius Alien. Like,
well,
I mean,
the Alien designs are creepy as fuck. I can't look at them without getting like.
This sounds right gay, but when I was in school, I studied the H.R. Geiger, or whatever his fucking name is.
That is his name.
And he designed the aliens, and like, there's a bar, I think it's
What subject did you study?
What was that?
What subject did you study H.R. Geiger in?
Art.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And there's a bar in like Switzerland that's all based on the alien design. It looks fucking incredible. I'd love to go to it. But, man, at the same time, I was like, just even just the look of the alien, it's just creepy. They've managed to get everything into one thing and say, this is
like,
alien.
Is it even within that face where you see like that massive, like, sort of backwardsly protruding head and you see the
teeth coming out of
Is it like the big massive tongue thing that's also an alien?
Aye.
Like, even seeing that, there's the two eyes, there's the nose and the mouth, and it's still almost humanoid.
But the whole thing's iconic. No, but the thing is, because Predator's face looks like a vagina, and that
Predator's face is ugly. That's the thing about. In the films and in the comics and in media, a lot of the time they have the mask, you know. Covering up, all that kind of stuff, and then in the final arc, eventually, it will be removed or it will be dislodged, and then they will
see
be
his
like.
Face.
That's pretty cool as well too. So like, you're waiting for it, and then you see it, and you go, "Fuck me, that's horrible."
I still think Predator's overrated, but anyway, carry on.
Right, I'm gonna. I've got choices now. I'm gonna go straight on a family friendly. I'm gonna go for what I think is a really fucking cool monster. Is a Charizard from Pokemon.
Oh god!
There is no reason why nobody would not want a Charizard. Like, it's like a big dragon dinosaur, fire breathing motherfucker of a monster that obeys absolutely everything that you say. It's obviously it's within a game. But you've got like a big fire breathing dragon dinosaur.
Charizard is a cool Pokemon, but at the same time,
it's a monster.
No one has ever seen a film where Charizard rips somebody apart.
Who cares? He's destroyed many a gym leader. I would happily. Have a Charizard as my pet.
Oh, of course you would.
I'll
think of the money you would make. You could have your own fringe show.
Well, I've ever
Richard and his Charizard. Just walk about the streets setting fire things.
If everyone else had a Pokemon, it maybe not be as interesting, but you can take your monster, your dragon, dinosaur, fire breathing thing, and put it up against like. I don't know, what's another shite Pokemon? A Jigglypuff. For the purposes of this conversation, Charizard can absolutely destroy a Slowpoke.
In the world of Pokemon, Charizard is like King. Quite high up.
No, fuck King. That, man. A King. Jigglypuff would hammer him. Jigglypuff anyway, puts him to sleep, fuck it.
This isn't a Pokemon conversation.
Right. I really think it is. Let's move on.
Charizard's a king.
Charizard.
King amongst Pokemon.
He's losing it.
Shut up, man. King amongst Pokemon.
We've still got time.
We've got plenty of time. We've got like 8 minutes.
We've got all night, man. We've got all night.
You know a good monster that I like? Mm-mm. Is
Charizard.
That guy Charizard.
Let's talk about Charizard. So,
you know a good monster. Did you two play Resident Evil 3 any time or point in your lives? No.
I can't remember.
There was a character in that like that was. They was called Nemesis.
I know Nemesis.
You know Nemesis from what Raccoon City, the shoot 'em up.
I know Nemesis from Resident Evil. One of the Resident Evil games, he's in that. He's also in one of the films, and he's...
Oh, wait, the, yeah.
He's a guy from Ugly Betty.
The first, Was he in the first one?
No, he's in the second.
I think it's the generation.
Dude, some guy from Ugly Betty plays Nemesis in the film. That's all I know.
What a resume! All I know is
this guy from this really uncool TV show that I watch all the time.
Whoa!
Ugly Betty, man, was amazing. I watched Ugly Betty like every Sunday morning when I was hungover.
Let's move on.
That's fine.
So, Nemesis was obviously as scary as Ugly Betty, and the next one.
Are we going for my one next?
Yeah.
Are you finished?
My number one scariest monster of all time, and even now when I see him, it makes my fucking bumhole tighten. Jaws.
By the way, that's a great shout.
I literally have lost years of sleep because of Jaws. Right?
Yeah, okay.
There's two memories in my mind that come forward. One, my older cousin was at my grand's one night, and she was like, "Oh, there's a film coming on called Jaws, we gotta go and watch it." And I was that whole kind of like, "Yeah, I wanna be cool, let's go watch it." I sat and watched Jaws, not knowing anything about it, and I just wanted to shut down inside. Like, I got halfway through it and was like,
there's a point where you've seen Jaws and you think to yourself, every time I jump in a pool now, Jaws is going to be there.
Every time I sit there's on the
toilet, there's a chance
Jaws
is going to be there.
I put the shiver on, Jaws will eat me. Now, when you look back on it now, Jaws is like a cardboard box with teeth, right? But see, at the time when I watched Jaws, even talking about it, man,
you're in a sweat.
Man, it's horrible. Right? I fucking hate Jaws. Like, I properly hate Jaws. I used to be so scared of Jaws. Even when I was walking down the street, I'd be scared of Jaws. Even though it's factually incorrect.
Somebody opens a bottle of water and you're kind of like, fuck me, wait a minute.
Hold on. Jaws would get off a bus and like eat me. I'm still scared of Jaws. Like, even when I watch a film, the film is so bad now, it's not dated out at all. Even when I watch a film, I still get that whole childhood fear of Jaws. I fucking hate Jaws.
I really want to see Jaws get off a bus.
Take some of me, please. I'm going to eat this boy.
Alright.
Ah, man, I fucking hate Jaws. Anyway, I might not have gathered. I fucking hate Jaws.
Right, we're game. The Cloverfield Monster. I found the Cloverfield Monster in that film one of the most terrifying things ever in any film. I just thought, but I think it's mostly because of the found footage aspect of it. I'm a huge fan of found footage stuff. I just find it like believable. I don't know why. It's just that it just seems more believable than anything else. And the Cloverfield Monster, like, just coming out of the sea and destroying everything in New York. I don't know. It just looked like this massive parasite that, like, if you even looked at, like, even if you were out on the streets, it would definitely kill you. Like, even the little things that
it was like a big tripod, didn't it? It was like three legs.
It was amazing. It was. I thought it was amazing.
It actually looked like one of the bad guys from the new Godzilla film. That's what it reminded me of. I had like the sort of three legs and the whole kind of I wasn't big on the Cloverfield movie. The Cloverfield monster. I like the film.
But Godzilla came out like well after.
Well, yeah.
I think you're Cloverfield 2008, Godzilla 2014.
You know when you see a dog that has no back legs and it has like little wheels?
That's basically the Cloverfield monster.
Yeah, and I felt like I could sort of like I could just get in a car and drive away from it.
Tommy, finish this section off with vigor. Well, finish off Nemesis first if you want.
No. I think we need to touch on this subject again. Actually, I think this needs to be the theme of a future podcast because we've all picked different monsters for different reasons and creatures and things like that. And
that's your book.
It can be because, oh, they're really scary, or oh, it fucking freaks you out, or oh, because, you know, I had the Pokemon when I was young.
Look at his face.
I've had the Pokemon when I was 20 fucking six. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Had
yeah.
a Charizard, mm-hmm. so.
See if Tommy's face could kill my.
Tommy, get a Pokemon.
Right, I think we need to have another creature feature, and it'd be a round robin where you have to go up against each creature.
A versus. I fucking love that.
You need to go up against them, and there are specific guidelines and brackets where it's like most scariest.
I'm using John
most
again.
Pokemon-ish. Spoiler. Or most something else.
Most Pokemon-ish.
Well, whatever. You know, it has to be broken up into brackets of scariness. Or, you know, Richard picked things because, you know, he liked the Pokemon monsters. They're not scary, but it's just...
I tell you what, a Pokemon can beat the shit out of alien.
Fuck off.
And that is where this part of the podcast is... awesome. This part of the podcast is giving birth to another section where I'm going to make the case for a Charizard beating alien.
I'm going to fucking shoot you down.
What did Ripley beat alien with? Was it fire?
Dude, you can beat Charizard by being like, come back!
No. That's not answering
question. Blastoise.
What did Ripley beat
fire.
Alien with?
Fire. Fire. Who knows fire?
Charizard. Fire. Boom!
Yeah, but he can't go up against water. I could get a fucking super soaker.
Bulbasaur. There you go. That guy's got like tank
that's
like
his weakness,
water
man.
Cannons.
That's
you, you were talking about this like you didn't like Pokemon. Come on. Come on, Tommy. We're better than that. We're going to come back to this in another podcast. And until then,
let's I reckon Josh could beat Charizard. It's in the water.
Tommy just walked out of the room.
Genuinely. That's right. The ideal place to end this.
This is right. Let's give it a ding.
Ding 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 ding.
Well, that was quite something. And
oh my goodness, I am spent.
He is spent.
I'm completely spent. I've just spooged so much geekness all over this podcast.
It's very.
I'm gonna go for a lie down and a snooze.
You can contact us as always. On Twitter, which is at Desert Wales, Instagram at The Desert Wales, Facebook, which is just search for The Desert Wales, and if you want to email us, it's thedesertwales@gmail.com. And Greg, one word to sign us off.
Ding 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 ding.
Oh shit.